time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE, 866-88-BIBLE.
The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch, engineering and producing the show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, where we continue to practice social distancing while bringing people together right here on the radio. For today, Monday, May 18th, 40 years ago, Mount St. Helens in southern Washington State blew its top, went from a 9,600-foot elevation in just a matter of seconds down to, lost 1,600 feet, just like that. The cloud of ash went 80,000 feet into the air. Ash was found in 11 different states, two different Canadian provinces. A big deal. Mount St. Helens blowing its top. And of course, there was loss of life. It's still disputed, but I think the loss of life was put at seven individuals that day back in 1980. Anyway, it is the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Monday political face-off featuring our commentators. Today, we have Attorney John Munger with us, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010. Attorney Jeff Rogers with us on the other line. Jeff, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, the Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, now open for business as usual. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe and his family, really, they specialize in beautiful custom frame mirrors. They have art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. And if you prefer, you can call ahead for a one-on-one appointment to set up with Mo or Corinne, or you can even do a virtual design session. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. John Munger, how was your weekend?
A fabulous weekend, Bill. How are you?
Doing well, thanks, my friend. How about you, Jeff Rogers?
Beautiful weekend, a little on the warm side, but beautiful nonetheless.
Jeff, are you still riding horses?
I'm still riding horses. I've got two of them.
Wow.
Got a 16-year-old mare and a 7-year-old gelding.
Oh, very nice. Jeff, let's begin with you. I looked this up just a moment ago. July 8th, the early balloting begins here in Pima County and the state of Arizona. It is really hard to believe, Jeff, with so much attention on COVID-19. I think the incumbents have a real advantage here just because of name recognition, and trying to do face-to-face campaigning right now is very difficult. But then again, we have a three-way race for Pima County Attorney that will be decided in July. Your thoughts?
Yes, I think this is a very unusual year. We're going to have to see people get pretty darn creative. Usually, the people with the best ground game win these elections, and it's really door-to-door, face-to-face with the voters. And I think that Raul Grijalva's campaign is a real good example of that. He typically has a lot less money than many of the other congressmen and women running, and typically it's a ground game for him, and that's how he won. And of course, he's, with his name recognition, he's going to win again, and with the work he's done for Pima County and for America, he'll win. But the these up and comers in the county attorney's office race is a good one, because we have no incumbent running, and we have three candidates that are probably all going to be pretty have a fair war chest and are going to put a lot of effort into it. I'm personally like the most Laura Conover, but you know, they're going to have to get real creative. I mean, this might be the year where Facebook ads and maybe sending texts, you know, by cell phone and creative things like that. And maybe some old fashioned things that we don't usually think are effective, like billboards and television ads, might be coming back. And generally speaking, I don't think those are historically very effective, but this is a very unusual year. I'm just not sure how these campaigns are going to deal with it.
Well, we've invited all three of those candidates to be here on Friday, July the 10th. We had an immediate yes from Mosher and Conover, but if anybody knows Mr. Diebold, I've sent several emails. I've announced publicly on the radio, Jeff Rogers. There is an invitation, Mr. Diebold, to come on the show. So if you know of anybody, Jeff, that knows him, tell him he's invited to be here with the other candidates.
Yeah, I'll try to send him a message your way.
Okay.
That's probably the most contested an important primary, because as you indicated, there's no one running on the Republican side or even an independent. So the primary decides the race.
John, what do you think about this?
Well, as Jeff said, there's no Republican running. I don't know any of the Democratic candidates. Therefore, I would have a tendency to go with Jeff's recommendation of Laura Conover.
All right, let's move on to the op-ed that was in the paper today, John Munger and Jeff Rogers. This is from Richard Fimbres, who basically says, we cannot risk our citizens to the old practice of going to the polling place. And Councilman Fimbres is urging Arizona lawmakers and our national leaders to make this election in November, John Munger, an all mail-in election. Your thoughts?
I think that is up to the individual states. It's not how elections occur is done by state, not by the federal government. So, number one, the federal government needs to butt out of that issue, except as to federal candidates. And I think that, and even as candidates, the elections, as I understand it, occur as the states indicate. I think that having an all-mail or an all-mail-in ballot is not right. I think if people can stand in line at the grocery store, they can stand in line to vote. And there's no more important thing than voting. I see no reason why people can't stand in line to vote. They're standing in line every other place. So I just don't see the issue. I think that this is an effort by the Democratic Party to create, frankly, mail-in ballots get mishandled regularly. And I just don't think that that's the safest way of doing elections. Now, if people want to do early mail-in ballots, whatever they want, we've got provisions for that in Arizona. Arizona has a law that prohibits what's called, what's the term for it, Jeff?
Ballot harvesting?
Ballot harvesting. Yeah. Ballot harvesting means that members of a party go around to various people and collect their ballots and mail them in all at once. And you never know whether those people have voted conscientiously or whether they're just being told how to vote. I like the idea of people going into the ballot box and voting their conscience.
Okay.
I'm very suspicious of the idea of party leaders in either party going around and collecting ballots, and which leaves them open to tell people how to vote. You sit there in their living room and tell them how to vote. And then mail in a ballot. That's illegal in Arizona. It's not illegal in a lot of states.
All right, Jeff Rogers.
Well, the fact is that the Ninth Circuit is currently looking at that law, and it's likely to be struck down because of the discriminatory purpose behind it. The lawmakers were not as careful as they usually are, and they basically stated that their purpose was to basically cramp the voting of Democrats. So you know, it's probably going to be struck down, but not in time for this election. And I would go as far as to say that after spending 4 to 5 years on the Election Integrity Commission and having examined the elections inside and out year after year after year, even before that when I was the party chair, you see no fraud involved with voting by mail whatsoever. And practically the only honest...
But yeah, ballot harvesting is fraudulent per se, in my opinion.
That's your opinion. The fact is that in Arizona, we've seen no cases of voter fraud involving mail-in ballots. Now, and the other thing to remember here is the only honest thing that Donald Trump has ever said, he said a few weeks ago when he said that if we make it easier for people to vote and more people vote, Republicans won't get elected anymore. And he just let those words slip out of his mouth. I was stunned. My jaw dropped when I heard that.
All right, so, John.
That is because this ballot harvesting thing results in, for the most part, in Democratic operatives going into people's homes who don't want to vote, don't know enough to vote, and they're told how to vote, and then you mail in bulk mail all of these ballots. That is not conscientious voting.
All right,
that induces fraud.
All right, we're going to pause right here, John Munger and Jeff Rogers, to talk a little bit about Mona's Danish Bakery. Good news, I was up at Mona's yesterday, and you can walk into the bakery. You can decide on what you want. Right now would be a good time to do lunch, or maybe you still want breakfast. 6:30 in the morning, they open, walk into the bakery. They have social distancing. The tables inside the bakery, there's plenty of room. They are widely spaced, plenty of room out on the patio, and they are doing quite well under the circumstances. Stop by Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and check it out. Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. Also a link at BuckmasterShow.com. So once again, it is pretty much business as usual at Mona's Danish Bakery. All those great bakery goods. And I saw that Steve, chief baker and owner, has reintroduced the carrot cake, which... had a piece of that, actually a half a piece for dessert last night. I'm looking forward to the other half with my either lunch dessert or dinner tonight. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is our proud sponsor, our signature legacy sponsor of the Monday Political Face-Off. Moe's located Fort Lowell and Dodge. Moe'sGallery.com. They are open as usual, business as usual. Be right back on the Face-Off.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, May 18th. It's our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, now open for business as usual. Moe's located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. John Munger on my live line to the right, Jeff Rogers, my live line to the left, and we're doing the face-off telephonically. Jeff, do you think Joe Biden should get out of the basement and, I don't know, my question to you is, does he even need to get out of the basement? Because the national polling continues to show he's leading Donald Trump. Your thoughts, please, Jeff.
Well, as long as the basement's working, fuck him out. I think he's, and but more importantly, he's leading sometimes by wide margins in the ever important states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. I think that, just like we were talking about with that county attorney's race and the upcoming local elections, these are strange times. And really the advantage has to go to the president in a way, because he can control the dialogue and get free media all the time. Although he's finding that every time he opens his mouth, the polling gets worse for him because he says something stupid. But these are strange times. I'm not sure you can't hold traditional rallies. Your volunteers can't even go door to door. It's a puzzling situation. I've been doing this to some degree since I was 8 years old, when I was asking people to vote for my grandfather for the state legislature.
I won't ask you what year that was, Jeff.
1964.
Well, thank you.
So that was the first time he ran. This is a puzzling time. People are going to have to get awfully creative in how they campaign this time around.
What do you think, John Munger? Are you still confident that the president will be reelected, John?
I really am. I think that there's a lot of good things happening for President Trump. He's slightly behind in the polls, depending on the poll. It's not much. Last one I saw was 4 or 5 points, and that was registered voters. It wasn't likely voters. likely voter polls are more accurate. He's going to do very well. When Joe Biden starts debating Donald Trump, he's not going to hold up well in any debates against Donald Trump. Joe Biden is senile, in my opinion, and he'll show up as senile. He's good hiding in the basement because it keeps him away from people. People can't see who he really is. And in between times, we're going to have the Durham report come out that there's going to be indictments of intelligence leaders in the Obama administration. You're going to have Joe Biden being exposed in ads by President Trump, how corrupt he is, how he's under the financial influence of the Chinese. As well as other countries. Joe Biden is corrupt, and his family's corrupt. And people, when they start seeing the ads exposing the truth about Joe Biden, they're not going to vote for Joe Biden. They're going to vote for Donald Trump.
Jeff, do you think that he has some cognitive issues that John called him senile? Do you think he's got some cognitive problems?
I don't think so. He's a stutterer and always has been. And sometimes that he has to collect his thoughts and a little differently than you and I do in order to avoid that. I think one of the most interesting polling that I've seen done is a poll that was covered by the Washington Post recently, where they say that the place that he's getting beat the most, Trump is, by Biden, they called it the haters. And they said it's basically, if you poll people who don't like both candidates, Trump in 2016 won that vote by 3-1 against Hillary Clinton, and it's completely the reverse now. It's about 3-1 in favor of Biden. So the people who really don't like either candidate are going way, way, way in favor of Biden. And I think that's an interesting kind of polling mix, because, you know, you're going to see an awful lot of people that are just going to vote their straight Democrat or Republican tickets like they always do. And then you're going to have these people in the middle like those people. And if you're picking up a large part of that vote, and the other thing is people are beginning to just be embarrassed by Trump and his behavior, and they're tired of it. I'm tired of it. I have Republican friends that tell me, I just can't stand it anymore. I'm going to have to vote Democrat just to bring some sanity back to America. And I think you're going to see a lot of people like that, a lot of late deciders who just think, we can't have any more of this. 4 more years of this and our country will never be the same.
But the great thing about Donald Trump is he's accomplished exactly what he promised he would accomplish, and the American public love it. When he starts listing all of his accomplishments, including taking on China, not having any more wars, no new wars, that's a wonderful thing. And people have a lot of confidence, far more confidence in Donald Trump than in Biden, in bringing back the economy. That will be a primary issue on people's minds when they are voting in the fall. And I think that Donald Trump is going to win that economic vote. People are going to love the fact that there are no new wars and that he's taken on China directly. I think that people are going to love it. So, and especially when they see how corrupt Biden is and how he's under the influence of the Chinese, and his son is as well. People are going to say, nah, I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden, not Biden. I'm voting for Donald Trump.
Jeff, I think a lot will depend on where we are with this, with perhaps a vaccine, where this whole coronavirus thing is. Would you agree?
Well, yes and no. I think the economy is going to be much more of a decider. And I don't think, and I truly believe, as someone who actually has an economics degree, I believe that we're going to hit 20 to 25% unemployment by the end of this month, when the next month's figures comes out. And I think that's not going to be down anywhere even below 10% by the time we get to Election Day. And I can't think of a president who ever got reelected with more than 10% unemployment. And you know, he inherited one of the best economies in the world that had been growing straight since the day Obama was sworn in. And now it's gone. And it's and he shares a lot of blame for this. You can't just blame it on the virus. He did nothing for 2 months.
Right.
He was well aware, had people telling him right and left, this is going to be a catastrophe. And he ignored it and pretended it didn't exist. And that's why we have as many deaths as we do. That's why a country with 5% of the world's population has 25 to 30% of the deaths caused by this virus.
John, I have 1 minute. Go ahead.
Well, I don't think the people are going to blame Donald Trump for this, for the economy right now. The economy was booming when this coronavirus hit. People have a lot more confidence in Donald Trump to bring the economy back than they do in Joe Biden. I hope the election is about the economy because people do have more confidence in Donald Trump. Joe Biden wants more of the Obama policies, which kept us at a GDP rate of about 1.8%, which is not a good economy. And that's an increase, incidentally, from a new low in 2008. And he still couldn't bring it back. He should have brought it back. We should have been pumping out 3-4% coming from that low average. So I'm fairly pleased with where Donald Trump sits right now.
All right, John Munger, thank you very much, John. Stay safe. Same to you, Jeff Rogers. Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome.
All right, Jeff Rogers and John Munger with us on the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Now open, you can stop by, walk into the gallery, or you can call ahead for a one-on-one appointment, set up the one-on-one, and even a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, an extraordinary collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, and gifts. That's what's going on at Zocalo Village, part of the Green Things family on their 13 acres, which of course have amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. Open daily, Green Things, 50 years and still growing, celebrating their 50th anniversary. Located at 3384 East River Road, they're doing very well during these hard times. One big reason is a lot of people are doing gardening, and to do gardening, well, you're going to need some Green Things. So head out to Green Things, check out the website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Dr. Zach Guido is the Buckmaster Show contributor on climate. Dr. Guido is the program manager and research scientist for the University of Arizona's International Research and Applications Program and research affiliate at the Climate Assessment for the Southwest, which is based at the University of Arizona Institute for the Environment. 790-2040 if you have any questions over the next half hour for Zach. And Zach, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks for having me on. It's nice to hear somebody else's voice for a change.
Yeah, there you go. You've been shut in for what, 2 months now?
Yes, it's hard to tell these days. All the days sort of blend together. I don't know what the actual count is, but certainly feels like that. So, and you, how's the new methods of doing this remotely been treating you?
Well, thank you for asking. It's a change. I'm a people person. I thrive on the energy of a person across from me at the table. As you well know, Zach, there's a lot of communication that goes on non-verbally with people, the eyes, the mouth. We communicate in all sorts of different ways. So I've had to adapt at it. I hope I'm getting a little better at it. It's harder when you have like two guests, like we just did our political face-off, where you have a debate going on. It's kind of hard to control that. It's a lot easier with one guest, but it does take a little bit of effort, but I'm trying to get better at it because we're now, Zach, 2 months into this all telephonically, and we've just decided to keep it kind of going until further notice, that because a lot of guests are not going to feel comfortable, Zach, right now coming into the studio, even though it would be just me and you would be
right, sick
and would be 6 feet apart. So that's how it's going in my world. Before we get to your monsoon forecast, I've got a whole stack of stuff, starting with the Atlantic hurricane season. Zach, this is the This is six straight years that we have had a little bit of unusual start to the season, which begins June 1st. We have our first named storm. I believe it's Arthur. And should we change? May 1st would almost seem like a better start date, wouldn't it?
Well, that's a good question, and I would have to dig into the numbers to see if there's been any changes in sort of the occurrence. Now, the occurrence frequency, I think probably not. I think, you know, most, if not all, of the storms fall within the sort of historical, what is it, June 1 through in the Atlantic, it's the end of, is it the end of November? I always get the Atlantic and the Pacific confused. But I think the majority of the storms, if not close to 100%, fall within the time in which the sea surface temperatures in the Atlantic sort of increase above like 26 degrees Celsius. So, yeah, some may occur earlier than that, but yeah, I'd have to check the data on that.
Well, last year, as I recall, the season began early in the on the Pacific side. We had a tropical storm coming up close to Baja. So I don't know. You could research it, but I think that it does seem, at least over the last 6 years, things are starting earlier. There's some interesting research that your colleagues at the University of Arizona have done. They joined with research climate scientists at the University of Texas at Austin, the University of Hawaii at Manoa. And they're saying that the global warming is approaching a tipping point that during this century could awaken. I didn't even know there had been this ancient climate pattern similar to El Nino in the Indian Ocean. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's a really interesting paper published in Science, one of the top tier journals out there. And it's based on work by colleagues at the University of Arizona, and like you said, other institutions that go back, not just in the most recent paper, but they also looked at the paleoclimate record and looked at proxies and basically found a sort of El Nino, La Nina-like seesaw pattern that is present in the tropical Pacific Ocean, but not in the Indian Ocean Basin. They found that going back 20,000 years ago to the last big glaciation, the time in which there was big ice sheets over northern hemisphere all the way down into northern parts of the United States. And so the climate was very different. Now, it was very different on the cold side than it is now. And we're sort of moving into our trajectories are moving toward warmer times. But the idea with that study was, well, just what were the states like under a different climate regime? And then, of course, now with this paper, you know, everybody wants to know, well, we know that the climate is changing. We know that there's been we're sort of doing a chemistry experiment in the atmosphere, and we have a pretty good indication of what that's going to mean in terms of energy and temperature, but we don't really know what the dynamics are, how like the individual components will sort of play out, what the impacts will be. And so this study sort of did an experiment looking at climate models and asked the question, well, can we get a different Indian Ocean state in a warming world? And what they found under really sort of the futures on fire scenario is that, yes, indeed, the Indian Ocean sea surface temperature structures change. And that can create a pattern, a sea surface temperature pattern that favors this sort of oscillation back and forth between wetter periods in the east and drier periods in the west and vice versa, just like what we kind of have in the tropical Pacific Ocean. So I think these studies are really good for trying to help us think about what could be the possible scenarios of the future under warming conditions. And they help frame the debate about where we probably don't want to go, because, you know, a more variable climate system would cause flooding at times and droughts in other times. And there's billions of people that live in that basin that would not be adapted to those kinds of conditions. And so there's large societal impacts related to that. I would say that I think it's, you know, if we go down the scenario that they were analyzing, which is in the climate model speak, it's their representative concentration pathway 8.5, sort of a wonky name, but it basically describes an emissions environment that is much greater than it is today. And it increases the emissions, greenhouse gases in the atmosphere sort of increase unabated in the future. And by almost all consensus, we do not want to go down that path. And this is just another example of why we would not.
Well, getting back to the Atlantic hurricane season, the forecasters are predicting an active season. Is the same true over here on the Pacific side? Because that always seems to impact our weather in September, October. What about the Pacific side?
Right. So there's a big unknown right now, which is what the state of the tropical Pacific Ocean will do. Will it be a La Nina or will it be a neutral state? And for your viewers who may be familiar with this, some of them may not be. The difference is that a La Nina conditions in the tropical Pacific Ocean have colder than average temperatures at the surface, and that has impacts on global atmospheric circulation. And so the current thinking is that, and it's kind of early to tell, we need maybe another month or so to be more confident about how the tropical Pacific Ocean is going to evolve, but they're leaning toward a La Nina. And so what La Ninas do is they change the atmospheric circulation in ways in the Atlantic Ocean where it can sort of favor tropical cyclone development. And so that is in part, I think, feeding into a slightly increased chances for an active hurricane season in the Atlantic. Interestingly, the opposite happens. There's an opposite signal in the Pacific Ocean that would impact here in the Southwest. So if a La Nina does emerge, we might think that the hurricane season in the Pacific would be a little bit suppressed. I would say this, though. We're talking about small numbers. So, you know, I'm not looking at what the hurricane forecast is, but, you know, on average, there's something like 12 named or 14 named storms usually in the Atlantic. And so when we're talking about an active season, we're not talking double that. We're talking a few more than what we would otherwise expect. And, you know, the Atlantic is largely ocean. And so the chances of a landfall are small to begin with. And it's sort of a better policy, I think, from my perspective, to just plan for the occurrence of a hurricane so that you're prepared for it, regardless of whether or not the chances are slightly higher than they otherwise would be. So, I think the proper sort of way to look at this in terms of societal preparation is just to plan for a hurricane.
Let's pause right here. We will be back with Zach Guido. He'll give us his monsoon forecast for monsoon 2020. But the Buckmaster Show continues in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. When you are ready to travel, and a lot of people are these days, they want to do a road trip, which makes sense. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Plenty of open spaces to do social distancing in places like the Gila National Wilderness, where there's some great hiking. And the elevation makes it much cooler than Tucson, 5,000 to 7,000-foot elevation over there. Check out southwestnewmexico.org for the listing of where to stay and what to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Dr. Zach Guido, University of Arizona climate scientist, with us on the Buckmaster Show. He is our contributor on climate. David's, before we get to Zach's monsoon forecast, David called, and he has a question about weather relating to energy. Go ahead, David.
My question to Thomas is, years ago, our government was doing the right thing. It was giving incentives for entrepreneurs to develop renewables and gradually wean us off fossil fuels, which would have worked if it kept going. But then it ground to a halt in 1981. Fast forward to today, now we've got a crisis, and I think it's really too late to do that. So the positive feedback loops are now coming into effect, but the methane is being released from the thawing tundra. NASA fires are burning up the Amazon forest, releasing even more carbon in the atmosphere, and it gets even worse. There are vast deposits of methane hydrates under the oceans that will soon be released in the atmosphere.
What's your opinion on that, Zach, about this stuff being released into the atmosphere?
Well, I have two thoughts on that. One is I wouldn't lose hope yet, and yes, we've known about this this issue that greenhouse gases cause warming for a long time, and there has been delays in the policy realm. But I don't think it's too late, and that's my internal optimist. We certainly can't wait too much longer to make a drastic change in the way that we generate electricity. I think we still need to push, and we still need to advocate for it and make sure that we're making good decisions based on the best science at hand. And then in relation to the methane and the other thing that you mentioned, that the releasing the methane from the oceans, the hydrates, I think that there's a lot of uncertainty there, and certainly those are active areas of research. There is emissions that are happening as the permafrost sort of thaws the northern regions. But in terms of, and they are potent greenhouse gases, but in terms of whether or not these will be tipping points that cause the climate to sort of evolve into a state that is no longer conducive for life as, you know, we've sort of evolved in it, you know, I think is we're not there by any stretch of the imagination. Now, I think that there's some cause for thinking about those as possibilities, but it's by no means a foregone conclusion that these feedbacks, as you mentioned, will take place and we'll have a runaway climate where humans are, you know, just not able to operate in the same way that we've had. So I would just encourage everybody to think about this as not all gloom and doom, but a need for action.
All right, Zach, we have only 3 minutes, so I'm going to have you telescope your remarks for your three-month outlook for May through July, and that takes us into the early monsoon.
Yeah. Well, it's going to get hot in May, and it's going to get hot in June, and that is a sure bet.
Yes.
And there won't be a lot of rain. And if there's any like prediction that climatologists can make that is better than others, it's in these 2 months, because we rarely see rainfall, and you know, we're on this trajectory of increasing temperatures, and we'll likely experience warmer than average temperatures up until the monsoon starts. And then when the monsoon starts is sort of anybody's guess. You know, the official projections of the onset of the monsoon and the state of the monsoon are, believe it or not, what they call equal chances. So it's basically a non-prediction. Yeah.
I like equal.
it could be equally above average or equally below average.
I think I could make that prediction right now.
Yeah. It goes to the really, it's really difficult to make some predictive statements with accuracy about the monsoon season because it is such a complicated phenomenon. Now, there is some indication if this La Nina materializes, there is some indication that, I don't want to get this wrong, but that La Nina, it may start early because La Ninas can favor an earlier onset. But those statistics and the dynamics are really sort of iffy. So it's hard to place any bets on what the monsoon will do. I would also say this, that when you look at the onset of the monsoon historically, the sort of average date is around July 4th in Tucson, and it's a little bit later up north and a little bit earlier as you move into Mexico, the core of the monsoon region. And, you know, most of the years are within a week of that time. So a late start may be a week later than July, maybe July 11th, and an earlier might be in the end of June. So it usually starts sometime in a relatively confined window. And, you know, we say it's late if it's just a week late, but in the big scheme of things, it's not many days. But of course that does matter. You know, a week later gives the fire season, which is at our height before the monsoon starts, you know, an extra week of burning. And so we do care quite a bit in the Southwest about when the monsoon will start. But I would just reiterate that it's anybody's guess on what the monsoon may do this upcoming year. So let's hope for a good season.
All right, Zach. Last year was, Zach, in 10 seconds, are we back in a drought situation?
Oh, man. We had a really good winter across Arizona. So short-term wise, I do not think we're in a drought. We still got long lingering drought impacts. Water supply issues are chronically a problem here. You know, the fire season is always something that that we have to worry about. Long-term, yeah, historically, if you go back 30 years, we've been in a lower precipitation, average annual precipitation than we had if you go back even further.
Zach, going to have to leave it right there. Thank you very much, Zach Guido.
All right. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Zach. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my engineer-producer, John Couch, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.